Welcome back to the No Name Podcast. I'm Jason McKee, and my co-host, as always, perennial Pro Bowler, All-Decades Team, All-Pro, UW Huskies, my guy, brother Olin Cruz. How you doing, brother O?
Usually I'm the one telling everybody my accolades, so I appreciate that. My kids roll their eyes at me when I go on and on about what I accomplished. They're tired of hearing about it, but doing good, J-Mac, getting really excited. For the NFL draft, we are coming up here soon next week. And so today we'll have Jim Nagy on, executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, to talk about the draft. 18 years NFL scout, a guy who really gets his eyes on a lot of players, watches a lot of film. A lot of us, J-Mac, at this time of year, a lot of us so-called analysts listen to these guys and just kind of say, everybody just says what they're saying. Very few guys actually know, actually see the players, talk to them, get them on the field. This is one of those guys who has that kind of information.
Yeah, been a part of 6 Super Bowls, brother O. Mm-hmm. Winner of 4. Winning Super Bowl quarterbacks that he had, Brett Favre, Tom Brady for 2 in Super Bowl 38 and 39, but then also he had Russ Wilson. So a guy who knows how to scout, knows what he's looking for, and obviously that's why he is now currently the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, a game that that I watch. You know, I've been watching since I was a kid. I'm from that area down there in the Panhandle in Mobile. So it's going to be exciting to hear what he has coming up next.
Mm-hmm. Man, we'll talk to him about quarterbacks, you know, the Bears' needs, right? Quarterback, obviously, get a young guy in there to groom behind Andy Dalton, get some offensive linemen in there, maybe a playmaker. You know, they got to score points. Obviously, that's one of their big problems, putting the ball in the end zone. And then, you know, maybe we'll ask him about a cornerback now that, you know, Fuller's gone, and that's an area of need also, J-Mac. But before we get to him, coming to the end of the football season here, I know the kids have been playing hard, doing well. How's Mount Carmel doing?
Well, Mount Carmel, we're Carmel Catholic. Mount Carmel is actually playing. They played St. Viator last week, and that's who we're playing this week. It's our rival, home of Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet is a St. Viator alum. Also, Jared Payton, son of the great Walter Payton, is a St. Viator alum. So it'll be a tough game. We beat them by 1 point last year. Last play of the game, we end up beating them. So they come in our house. It'll be a good opportunity for us to get back in the winning column, brother.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know Loyola has Marist this week.
Good. Tough that's football a good, game. That's a good ball club right there, man.
Those guys are going to be hitting each other. They got very good offensive line. They run a lot of gap scheme at Marist. They're fun to watch. The running back comes downhill hard and often. He's not trying to bounce it outside, J-Mac. Yeah. He's coming downhill. So Loyola's got their hand full. They're undefeated. Obviously, most people in Illinois football know about Coach Holasek. They know about Loyola. Really well-coached football team, a lot of good football players on their team. So it's going to be a good week. I'm glad the kids got to the end here. Yeah. Got some, at least part of the season, and a lot of adults. I just want to thank, you know, whoever's out there who really put the work in to get these kids on the field, get them a season. It's really good, mostly for their mental health, really good for them to be out there, part of football, be around their friends again. So thanks to them. But without further ado, J-Mac, we'll get to Jim Nagy. Well, J-Mac, man, we are lucky to have this guy on. He's the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, now a draft analyst for ESPN. You know, he was in the NFL. Now he's been a part of the NFL really for over 25 years, scout for 18 years, started in the public relations department for the Green Bay Packers in 1996. And man, looking through that team, you don't wonder anymore why there was so much success up there. But anyway, J-Mac, I'll introduce Jim Nagy, not to be confused with Matt Nagy. Thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, great to be on with you fellas. And yeah, I get asked that question all the time, if Matt and I are brothers or anything. We're well, not, you know, I always say I wish I had his bank account. I wish he was my brother. I could hit him up for a loan or two.
Yeah, we'll see what kind of interest he gives nowadays. But, you know, my first question, I know we'll get into the draft this year, but going back to that, when you were up there at Green Bay, and I think you're in the public relations department. And man, I was looking through, Jim, all the guys who were there. I think Ron Wolf was the general manager. You had Ted Thompson, Reggie McKenzie, John Schneider, John Dorsey, Scott McCluggan. I think I hope I didn't butcher his name there. I know he was the general manager for the Redskins, but how much did you learn in just that 1 year there in Green Bay from those guys?
Yeah, I learned a ton, guys. Yeah, I got in through the PR door just because at the time there were no scouting internships. There was no way to get your foot in the door in scouting. So that being the only way to do it, that's how I got in. I mean, there's some, I know Eric Mangini got in through PR. I know Brian Billick got in through PR. I mean, there's been a bunch of guys back in the day get their foot in the door that way. And just like anything, once you're getting your foot in the door, then it's all about what life's all about, just meeting people and making the right connections. And like you said, I mean, those guys, everyone you named went on to be a GM off that staff. I think there were, including Ron, there were six GMs on staff. And all I did, you know, I knew I wanted to scout from the time I was little. Like, I wish I was like you guys and I could have played, but my days were over quickly. So, you know, I always, the team building part of it always interested me more. My dad was a high school coach. It was something about the team building that really got me, and the draft kind of really captured me as a young guy from the time I was probably like 7 years old, 7 or 8 years old. So got my foot in the door, and then when all the PR duties were done for the day, I would go up there to the personnel department and just sit with Reggie McKenzie and John Schneider, who were, you know, pro scouting assistants at the time, and just bug them and let, you know, hey, can I sit in here and watch tape with you and just try to learn from them. And, you know, the great thing was a lot of those guys went on and got GM jobs. And a couple of years later, John Schneider got the VP of football operations job with the Redskins when Marty Schottenheimer was the coach, and John could kind of put his own staff together. So he hired me to be an area scout. And that's kind of how I got the scouting career started. But yeah, I mean, a lot of great guys in that building, not only in the front office, but on that team. You know, it's really kind of cool to see guys like you know, Brett, Reggie, and all the great players we had on that team, and how tight they were. You know, like Green Bay is such a unique place because it is such a small town. You really, those guys spend a lot of time with each other, you know, off the field, the guys in Green Bay, just because the nature of the city being so small. So that was really a tight-knit football team, and it carried over on the Sundays. And, you know, that's why they won the Super Bowl. You know, other than being really talented, that was a really tight-knit group.
Yeah, Jim, you know, staying in the front office, you know, scouting, you guys are like the fullback of the front office. You do all the dirty work. You don't get a lot of credit. Talk about the task that involves being a scout. Talk about, like, you know, the work that you guys do and the time you put in.
Yeah, it is. It ain't glamorous. you're on the road about 175, probably 200 nights a year. It's, you know, you're staying in fairfields and courtyards, bouncing around the country. You're in the building every day at a school, you know, at 7:00 a.m. and you're watching tape all day and talking to all the people in the building and developing relationships and then you're going to practice and you're back in the car driving, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours to the next school. So, yeah, you're crisscrossing the country doing that, or a specific region of the country, and you do a ton of heavy lifting and you don't get a lot of credit for it. And that's not why guys do it. It's why I never did it. You know, you do it because you love it, and you're a part of something bigger than you. You're competing for, you know, you're trying to win a Lombardi trophy. So, you know, again, we're having a scout school down here. I'm going to give a little plug if I could. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a scout school down here at the Senior Bowl, which we're having in June. And it's for former players only. Phil Savage, my predecessor here, former Browns GM, started a great program with a scout school. And I would always come and speak to the group, just because I was here in Mobile, Alabama, where I was living. And I would come speak to the group. And then when I got this job, the only thing I've done a little differently is open it up to former NFL players, because just in my time in the league, I felt like there was a big need for former players in the profession. And more need for minorities in the profession as well. And so we, you know, 2 years ago, we opened it up to former players only. And last year, unfortunately, because of COVID, we had to cancel. But we got to crank back up again for this June and really trying to make an impact on that. I mean, you guys played it at the highest level. Nobody knows the game better than you guys. So I think a lot of former players, you know, they think coaching or they think broadcasting. I just don't think a lot of them think about front office work or scouting work. And we're hopefully trying to change that, you know, really want to create a pipeline of young players that, you know, the guys that have been in the league a few years and find themselves out, you know, help them with that transition, then maybe get back in the league in a different capacity.
Yeah, Jim, that's awesome, man. I commend you for providing another resource for former players to get into the front office, you know, and that's huge. I hope a lot of former players take advantage of it, and I'll be sure to share that as well. I know Olin will, too. I want to go back to the Senior Bowl. You know, I'm a Gulf Breeze, Florida guy, so I'm right down the street from Mobile, Alabama, and you know, I watched the Senior Bowl a lot growing up, obviously in college. Didn't have the opportunity to participate in it, but wanted to talk about that process. Like, what is the criteria in the evaluation process for selecting participants in the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, I can't speak to the past, Jason. I mean, obviously they swung and whiffed when you came out.
I tried to throw a little shot enough, man. I was a fullback. We didn't get no love. Like Jim said with scouting, man. We get no love, man.
No, so all we've tried to do here, try to structure it just like an NFL team would be. So we've done it a little differently now. We get all our tape from the league office. We can download tape from the NFL Dub Center just like the teams do. One thing I've done differently than in the past, we've hired a scouting staff every year. Year by year, I've hired a new staff of guys that have NFL experience. These are guys that, you know, have been on the road. They've done it. They've seen it. And again, you guys know it even as players. I mean, you play long enough, you work long enough in football, whether at any level, high school, college, or pro, you're going to find yourself without a job at some point. You know what I'm saying? Like, the ball's not going to bounce the right way. You lose enough games and you find yourself out. So what I would try to do is create kind of a soft landing spot for guys that, as they're out for a year, hopefully come here on board with the Senior Bowl, stay connected to the next year's draft class, you know, out at games every Saturday, letting GM see them, you know, watching tape, writing reports, you know, still honing their craft. And then get back in the next year. And that's happened for a bunch of our guys, which has been great. So that's the way we do it. You know, we'll have scouts. They'll have them all over the country regionally. They'll be watching tape all week. They'll be going to games on Saturdays, meeting with guys. You know, if you've worked in the league, it's a small opportunity. So you go to a game anywhere in the country, you're seeing all the guys that you've been on the road with, you know, sharing information and trying to gather information from coaches on the field during pregame. And we build a board out just like a team would be. I'm staring at it right now, you know, and we really try to do this thing the right way. And we just invite the best players, regardless of school, regardless of level. I mean, shoot, we've had D3 players in the game the last couple of years. And again, just trying to find the best players. And we do our own work because we want the league to respect what we're doing here. And we're not just trying to fish names from them, right? And we're not taking names from agents. We're not taking names from college coaches. Like, we got to do our own work. That's a really important part of what we do. We have to do our own work. But again, I don't have the ego in this thing to think I have all the answers either. So, you know, what we've done is, rather than me just randomly calling guys around the league that I'm friends with, we set up formal calls at the end of November with, you know, each year it's been over half the league. So we're really polling a good sample of the league. And we just go at the end of the process, we go position by position. Okay, guys, here's the five quarterbacks we've invited. You know, we're going to have eight in the game. Like, who's the next three you want to see? Or here's the, you know, we got 20 O-line spots. We've invited 14 of them. Here's the really the next 6 to 8 for us. Like, is there someone in there? There's anyone in that group you really want to see? Is there someone from outside that group that maybe we're missing on? And we have really constructive calls with those guys. And again, it all comes together in December and we get them down here in January and kick it off. But that's, I hope I didn't get too long winded, but that's kind of how we do it.
That's good stuff, man. And Jim, my partner here wanted to be a scout too, and I'm fighting him. He won't even let me ask a question. He weighed me off like four times already.
Jim,
anyway,
I didn't have a question. I just wanted to make a comment, and I just wanted to say, make sure you you know, don't skip Temple University. That's all I was saying. That's the only thing. I know you go to UW. I just was going to throw a little plug in there, Jim. That's all.
Hey, yeah, we've had Raquel Armstead in the game my first year. We've had Rock Ya-Sin in the game. So, yeah, we like our Temple guys. We know we get them Temple tough.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate you, man. That's all I wanted. Thanks, man.
Can I ask a question now? Is that all right? Hey, Jim, man, I saw just reading through your history that you were with the Patriots, ended up in Kansas City when Scott Pioli went down there, and then ended up with the Seahawks. And just looking through that history and where the NFL is now with all this quarterback and everybody's looking for their franchise quarterback. And, you know, obviously Tom Brady in New England and Russell Wilson in Seattle. But I'm interested in your time in Kansas City when you guys traded for Matt Castle, got Kyle Orton off the street. It's kind of where the Bears are now, right? They got Glennon, drafted Trubisky, didn't work out. You know, now we're on to Andy Dalton and Nick Foles. And I'm just wondering from your point of view, when you're looking for that franchise quarterback, how hard is it, and how hard is it to translate them, what they're doing in college, into the NFL?
Well, finding that guy is what it's all about. If you don't, I mean, you guys know this. If you don't have that guy under center, you don't have a puncher's chance. So again, I was fortunate. You know, Green Bay, we had Favre. Go to New England, we have Tom, and then in Seattle, we had Russ. It makes everything easier. You know, you got that guy, then you just build around him. So very fortunate to be in those three spots. And speaking specifically to the Kansas City situation, yeah, we traded for Matt. You know, we took Matt in New England as a seventh round pick, and we went 11-5 with him as a starter in 2008 when Tom blew that ACL in week one against, I believe it was Kansas City. I think Bernard Pollard got him on the knee. So we felt good about Matt coming in, and really was an upgrade for us there. And we felt like we could win a lot of games with Matt if we were good around him, you know, which New England was the year before. I mean, won 11 games. And it was just in a weird bunch of circumstances. We could go down that wormhole. But, you know, Matt had a Pro Bowl year one year in Kansas City. He threw 27 touchdowns one year. So, you know, things fell apart a little bit the last year. We felt like we had it going in the right direction after winning the division one year. And then, you know, it's just kind of one of those worst case scenario seasons where we bottomed out at 2-14. But, and we never took our shot. You know, I'll say that about the Kansas City thing. Like, we had a shot. We could have taken a shot at Russell Wilson, you know, in the third round one year. We had the 75th pick that year, and Russell went 76. Mm. So, you know, there were opportunities to take quarterbacks. I know Ryan Tannehill was up there, and I went into Texas A&M that year. I love Ryan Tannehill. You know, I'm glad to see that his career is really – he's really proven his potential in Tennessee, because it didn't look like it was going to happen in Miami. And again, sometimes change of scenery really helps the player. You know, sometimes it's the organizations that fail these quarterbacks. So, you know, I'm glad to see Ryan have success, but you do. It's a constant search for that guy until you get that guy. So, I'm sure that's what the Bears are doing now. You know, you get up in that range where you can get a guy that can really be a difference maker. You got to throw all the resources you can at that position until you get it fixed.
Yeah, Jim, looking at what the Super Bowls you guys won, you know, you mentioned obviously you had Favre, Brady for two of them, and Russ for the last one. With this year's NFL draft class, quarterback class, do some of these guys possess some of the traits and qualities of those Super Bowl winning quarterbacks that you've been around?
Well, they all have the physical talent, and that's the hard part on the outside when you're not in the league, is that you don't get to know these guys as well as people and as workers and those sort of things. And that's what really matters. I mean, if you scout long enough, you've been around the game long enough, watching the tape and identifying a player and what he does well, and, you know, break him down, height, weight, speed, instincts, everything, you know, just is the guy a good football player or not? I think that teams can nail that part of it pretty good, but the hard part is really digging in deep and what makes why you guys stayed in the league so long and were successful for so long. It's not about the talent. I mean, to me, I always think the NFL, there's like an 80% middle ground, where like there's 80% of the league is all one guy in terms of physical talent. There's that elite class and that top 5-10%. Those guys are just different. You know, you guys have played with them. You know, they're just different dudes. And then there's that bottom 10% that just constantly recycles on practice squads or back into rosters until they find that right opportunity to really make it happen. So what separates, the separators are, you know, study habits, work habits, passion for the game, toughness, competitiveness, like all the things that, that make guys a pro? Like, are guys ready to become pros? I think that's the other thing. Like, is these young players more money, more time on their hands? Like, are they ready to handle that? The guys that are, the league is becoming less and less forgiving right now. Like, we're moving on from players really fast now. There's no 2 or 3 year grace period. Like, you better come in, hit the ground running. And if you can't, we'll find someone that will. And, again, that's the hardest part. And with these quarterbacks, this quarterback class, like, I've spent a lot of time around Mac Jones. He was here in the Senior Bowl. And I've talked to people at Ohio State about Fields, and I've been around Trevor Lawrence quite a bit because I'm in Clemson quite a bit in the fall. And I've had a chance to meet Trevor at the Manning camp and those sorts of things. But I don't know Trey Lance at all. I've reached out a lot to the guys in Fargo about him, and we've had teammates here in the Senior Bowl, and everything sounds great. But that's really where these teams are trying to drill down right now. Are these guys ready to do it? Just from a maturity standpoint, and really for the quarterback position in an intellectual standpoint.
Yeah, and that must have been, I was reading some of the articles, and that must have been really hard with the pandemic, is getting your eyes on some of these guys, getting to a room with them and getting a feel from them. And that's probably why the Senior Bowl was so important this year. And I saw that you guys even invited some injured guys out there so teams could talk to them and get to know them. And I'm sure that really helped. But Jim, just wondering from your point of view, When do you know with a player that he can translate what he wants, what he's doing in college on film, to the NFL? What exact things are you looking for, and who are you talking to when you get on campus that will tell you the truth about, does this guy really have what it takes to make it in the NFL? And because you were just talking about, you pointed out so clearly that, look, a lot of these guys, you get in a room with them and you know almost right away, like, this guy does not have it. You know, so I'm wondering, when you scouts are on the road so much during the year, what are you guys looking for in tangibles? Who do you guys talk to so you find out if this guy's really got what it takes to make it in the NFL?
Right. And I know you guys thought, I mean, to your teams you were with, they draft players, and you get the OTAs and the rookies get a part of the deal. And you guys probably know right away that dude ain't gonna make it. Right, But no, so you're out there in the fall. You talked about the projection part. That's what it's all about. You have to project. It's gotten a little bit easier from a football perspective the last probably 5 years. I think there's more open-mindedness right now across the league on the coaching level, to incorporate in some college concepts that will help ease the transition for some of these guys. I think there were a lot of years where it was truly apples to oranges, where you're seeing what they do in a college system, whether it's an offensive lineman that plays out of a 2-point, and never fires out of a stance, to, a wide receiver that, is just running a lot of quick game stuff. You don't see a full route tree. I mean, there's a lot of projection, but I do think that's gotten a little easier over the last couple of years. But yeah, when you're in a building, I mean, you got to find out all the stuff. So that's why there's like different levels of sourcing. All these people in a building see these guys through a different lens, right? So, the coordinator and the position coach are going to see really the meat and potatoes, nuts and bolts football stuff. Like, how is he in meetings? How attentive is he? You know, what's his recall like? How does he learn best? Right? Like, we all learn different. You know, we're visual learners, auditory learners, hands-on learners. Like, do these guys need to go out on the field and rep it? I mean, that's a big deal for backup players at the next level. If you're not going to get a bunch of physical reps and you're running scout team most of the time, can you just take it from the room to the field and be ready to go? So there's a lot of those things at the coaching level. And then you're talking to support staff people. Like, academic people are great sources now because, I mean, a lot of guys don't like school. I mean, a lot of us didn't like school when we were there, but we knew what we had to do to take care of our business, right? Like, I never liked a guy that the academic staff really had to chase down all the time and walk to class and make sure they assigned a GA to. And you know what I'm saying? Like, there's parts of being in the NFL. There's parts of all of our jobs, right, that we don't like doing. But you shouldn't have to have your hand held to do it. You know, you still have to grind through it and get the things done, the mundane stuff. Like, that's one thing we used to ask in meetings with players, like, what bores you about football? Like, what don't you like doing? And how do you get through that? You know, and talk me through that process. Like, you don't like watching film. You don't really not like the weight room. Like, there's some guys that just don't like the weight room, but they got to get in there. So how do you work through that? So You know, and then you go to like the equipment guys, like how high maintenance are these guys? Are these, you know, is this the dude that's coming in for new cleats or needed to be spattered or wants his own special socks? You know, like some of that high maintenance crap that's like, it's like, nobody wants to deal with that. You know, like there's
you better be good enough, right, Jim? You got to be good enough.
I'm telling you,
you can act like that, but you better be good enough.
I'm telling you, man. Yeah.
You can't have 53 of those dudes on your roster, and you guys know that.
Well, there ain't 53 of those guys alive.
There might be a diva wide out or a DB or something that we can put up with something special for, but you know, we can't have a whole locker room full of those guys. So again, it's a multi-layered answer for you, Olin, but yeah, you seek out everybody in the building, man. And it even goes to this time of year. What's big this time of year is going to guys on your roster, like young guys on your roster, guys that are year one, year two, year three, you guys that have been in, you know, been at college with some of these players, whether it's they were a senior when this current class were freshmen and might have a little insight into the player. Like you seek those guys out as a scout. Like you find them in the cafeteria during OTAs and just be like, you know, what was it? I know this dude was only a sophomore when you were there, but what was he like? You know, and you get really good feedback, you know, and you tell them like, guys, this is like, you're going to help determine if this guy's in your locker room or not. You want this guy as your teammate. And that's some great information, man. Like you get some great stuff from players and they won't pull any punches because they know that, you know, I'm like, listen, guys, this guy's either going to help you or hurt you getting to a Super Bowl. So do you want him or not? Wow. So it goes all the way down to current teammates. So, it's an exhaustive process. Our mantra in Seattle was that we never had all the answers. Like you never feel like you know the player good enough all the way up until you're on the clock. Like John Schneider, our GM, his was like, guys, if you get information, if the draft is on April 29th and you find something out on the 28th, well, bring it to me. Like we bring it to the room. We got to know about it. Whereas that's not the case with every team. Like some teams like to, you know, cut the scouts out at a certain point and make it, you know, tighten the circle up in the decision-making process. But the best teams I was a part of, like you were invested the whole way through. Again, it was an exhaustive process to find that information.
Well, that's good information, man. That's a lot of time and effort that you guys put in that even us as players, I didn't even know none of that stuff. And I'm glad you shared that with us. And I'm going to share that with my high school players because they think they're, you know, a lot of these high school kids think they're way better than what they are. But, you know, so I've got to share this information. So I appreciate that, Jim. Want to ask you a quick question. I want to put you on the clock. A lot of mock drafts out there and the Bears pick at number 20. I've seen mock drafts out there having us pick the receiver, Kadarius Toney, out of University of Florida. Some of us have us taking a guy right down the road in Northwestern and Greg Newsom. What are your thoughts? Who do you think the Bears should take at number 20?
I think they got to take best player available. They have enough needs where, you know, were they 9-7 last year off the top of my head? Mm-hmm. You know, that team has needs. So I would just take the best player. I wouldn't reach for a need. And again, if you just talk about those two players in particular, you know, I've been watching Kadarius since high school. He's a local Mobile guy, was a quarterback down here. The dude could chuck it 70 yards. I mean, if you've seen the tape, he's a tremendous change of direction athlete. He's 5'11 and change, you know, 190 pounds, but he plays bigger than that. He's a little bit different than some of the other slots in this class. At 5'11 and a half, I mean, some of these guys are 5'7, 5'9. I mean, this is a bigger slot. But he plays like he's about 210 pounds because he's strong on contact. He pinballs off a lot of stuff. He's aggressive with the ball in his hands. Like he doesn't try as much as he can avoid people and stick his foot in the dirt. He's kind of got that joystick ability to him. Like he's not afraid of contact whatsoever. So he's really a cool player. I like Kadarius a lot. I think he's going to be a really good pro. I think he'd significantly upgrade playmaking ability on that Bears offense. And then you flip it to Greg Newsom. He's got the best feet in the class, bar none. I mean, you can talk about other skill sets, you know, Pat Surtain, and there's a lot of big corners in this draft. JC Horn, those guys are great players, but Newsom's got the cleanest feet of the group. He can play press. He can play off because of the feet. He's going to be really good in off. Does a nice job reading routes. I think he's got a lot of playmaking ability. Tested off the charts. He's got some swag to him. Like the dude carries himself different. Like he's super, super confident. I think either of those would be great picks for the Bears.
You know, Jim, obviously I'm going to ask you about the big guys up front, the big uglies, the offensive linemen. And for the first time in a few years here, the Bears do have a pick in the first, second, and the third round. So who are some guys you like? Give me some guys who bring that attitude to the field, will bring some attitude to the Chicago Bears, play a little nasty football.
Yeah, there's a bunch in this year's draft. I know you like those guys because that's how you played. But, you know, Tevin Jenkins, the tackle from right tackle from Oklahoma State, I think is a guy that's going to come in and start at right tackle or guard for you. Landon Dickerson, the center guard from Alabama, I think is the best offensive lineman in the draft, period. I think he plays the inside positions better than any of the tackles play out on the edge. You know, what he's dealing with right now is an ACL that he had in the semifinal, CFP semifinal, and then he had one from his time at Florida State. But if you watch that dude play guard and center, he is a unique big body center. I mean, you guys know the league can play with smaller guys there. I really thought he was going to be a better guard, and then he goes out at center this year, and the dude plays that position at a really high level. Extremely tough, competitive, like total blue collar dude, loves the physicality of the game. He's so fun to watch. I mean, you guys would love watching this guy play his game, but it's going to be the injury thing. You know, like he's not going to get out of the second, but I think if he were like a full clean, bill of health, I mean, that dude's a top 20 pick. You know, so he's a really good one. Like I said, really fun to watch. Dylan Radens is a kid from North Dakota State who is here at the Senior Bowl who is a high level athlete, but also like a nasty, nasty guy. And you could see that on the FCS tape, the teams he played against, because he was really kind of like a man amongst boys at that level. I mean, he would literally run dudes off the sideline. It was like stuff in the water boy, you know, like the blind side, like he would take guys and dump them in the, you know, out into the boundary. And so it's hard to find guys that are that good of an athlete that Dylan is and have that nasty edge. It's either usually one or the other. If you get the combination of high-level athlete and then nasty tough guy, now you're talking about a guy that is going to be a really elite player. So, I mean, Jenkins, Radens, I think Trey Smith at Tennessee is another guy that likes the really physical guy, likes to bury people. So, it's a great offensive line class, fellas. I mean, you're going to find starters into the, you know, third and fourth round in this year's draft if you do it right. You don't have to take one up high. I honestly think if the GM should be looking elsewhere in the first round because you can get starters in rounds 2, 3, and 4.
It's interesting you brought up Radens. I was looking at your Twitter and I saw the clip that you put on there of Radens, and you said, you know, he's a big guy, but he moves like a little guy. And you put a clip of him beating receivers downfield, making blocks downfield. And the guy had some wheels, and, you know, I like that effort. And that's exactly, you know, Olin knows that's what you want in offensive linemen in this league, that they're going to get downfield, that could continue to be road graders, but also have the athleticism to do different things. In regards to what the scheme requires. I want to go running back since we talked about O-line. Obviously, Olin always talks about the O-line on our show. Jimmy never gives me a chance to bring up any running back. So I'm going to take my due diligence.
You were just an
now.
O-lineman, man.
I'm going to do my due diligence, Jim, and bring up running backs. One in particular, Michael Carter, a guy from my hometown out of North Carolina. What are your thoughts on him and then some of the other top guys that's coming out this year?
Yeah, Michael was, it's always great having local guys in the game. And I consider, you know, the panhandle local for us. I mean, that's close by. It was great because Michael got to bring his, you know, huge group of people. Same thing with Richie Grant, who's over from, the panhandle as well, the safety from UCF. Both those guys had a huge contingent here for the game this year. And speaking back to Michael, I mean, he made a nice jump this year. You know, we watched him over the summer. He was on our board. He's right around kind of where the cut line has been the last couple of years since I've been here, where it's ended up at the running back position. And he blew that out of the water this year. Like, looked more explosive, you know, like a lot more chunk runs. Has always had the great feet and kind of the low center of gravity, shiftiness, but just he looked like he had more juice, you know, there was noticeable burst, compared to the year before. And they threw him the ball a bunch. They did a great job at North Carolina getting he and Javonte Williams, the other back, really involved. I mean, it was like 50. You look at the stats. It's like, how did the OC do that? How did he? I mean, their stats were almost identical, 50-50. He had a great year. I think starting the year, Michael was probably more of a fourth, fifth round guy. And again, now he's not getting out of day two. He's going somewhere second, third. So helped himself tremendously this year. And then if we're going to stay at running back, man, I got to throw you a bone. We had one true fullback in the game. Yeah, we're trying to get guys that are getting drafted in the game. And you know, they seems like to wait on those fullbacks. But a guy that I do think is going to get drafted is a guy named Ben Mason out of Michigan. Just a true old school thumper, but still athletic enough to get it done in the kicking game, right? I mean, that's how fullbacks stick around. Is if you're only being used at, you know, 10 to 15 snaps a game at fullback nowadays, you better bring something on special teams. And Ben's been a badass on punt cover and kickoff cover his whole time at Michigan. And so that's why I think he's going to play a long time. And you can throw it to him. He can catch it. So again, as a fullback, I see Ben as a guy that's going to stick for a long time. My first year, we had a guy, Alec Ingold, you know, from Wisconsin, was a true fullback coming down here to the game. He did not get drafted. I was shocked. Again, we talked about making the phone calls around to the teams. All 17 teams that we spoke to that year in November had draftable grades on Alec Ingold, and then you get to draft day, and none of them spent a pick on him. So, but he's made it. He's done a great job. He's blocking his butt off for Josh Jacobs with the Raiders. And I see Ben as a similar guy. I think he's going to stick in the league a long time.
Hey, Jim, this is sorry, J-Max laughing at me because I said I don't know who the hell Alec Ingold plays for. He's a fullback.
Come on, man.
Hey, so I've been reading that this, like the offensive line you talked about earlier, that this wide receiver class is deep also. And I'm wondering, the Bears running that Kansas City scheme, obviously Coach Nagy from there with Andy Reid, always looking for a playmaker. I saw that Tyreek Hill was actually a fifth-round pick. Is there any receivers who you like that are dynamic that maybe the Chicago Bears can find later in the draft? I know we mentioned Kadarius Toney in the first round, but the guys that might go to second, third day.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you're going to find another guy like Tyreek in the fifth round. we could do a whole podcast on scouting Tyreek Hill. I went in that year to West Alabama when he finished up at West Alabama. So that would be one for another day. But this year's slot class, you know, receiver class, there are. I mean, if you wanted to wait in the first round, a guy like D. Eskridge at Western Michigan is a really dynamic player. You know, he played some corner there. He's played a ton of special teams. He averaged like 23 a catch this year in the MAC. He was at like 27, 28 on kick returns, brought a couple of those to the house. And he looked like he was playing at a different speed on MAC tape. I mean, literally, you put it on, it looks like he was on fast forward compared to everyone else. And the great thing was he came down to the Senior Bowl and the speed translated here too. I mean, he was running away from SEC guys and Big Ten and Big 12 guys and Pac-12 guys. So, really dynamic player, great with the ball in his hands, similar to Kadarius in the sense that he's extremely tough, was a gunner on their punt team and was blowing dudes up. So, D. Eskridge is a really cool one. Amari Rodgers from Clemson. I think D and Amari both go somewhere in the second round. But Amari, similar to Michael Carter in the sense that looked just a lot more explosive this year, was coming off an ACL on 2019 tape. Just didn't see a lot of explosiveness from him. And then this year looked like almost a different guy. They got the ball in his hands and I think he compares favorably to Deebo Samuel, who he had down here in the Senior Bowl a couple years ago and has done awesome things with the Niners his first couple years. And they're similar guys. You know, like there's a lot of slots in this draft, Elijah Moore, Rondell Moore, some smaller guys, but Amari's 213 pounds. He's got that running back body type. He worked out a little bit at running back at the pro day, which I think you would be smart doing. I think you'd be smart putting him back there to create mismatches, but he's a true receiver. He's not a running back. I mean, I think he's truly a guy you just get creative with, and he's really good out of the slot, has great feel, extremely tough. So those are a couple names. Then if you go down, Demetric Felton from UCLA is another kind of chess piece like Amari, where it did a lot of work in the backfield at UCLA, came down here and was awesome at receiver all week. His teammates voted him wide receiver of the week for his side. The DBs voted on that award. So he did great things. And then a small school guy, Kay Johnson from South Dakota State, is probably going to go somewhere round three, round four. Again, it was not too big for him. You got an FCS level guy that came down here and really showed up well, both the receiver and in the kicking game. He made a great play on punt cover in the game, but he's a dynamic guy. Has juice out of the slot. So those are some names that if the Bears didn't address it with a guy like KT in the first round, they could circle back in the second, third, fourth round to get one of those guys.
Jim, I'm going to go back to the quarterback position. Obviously, we're talking about, you know, not the frontline guys. We know the Lawrences, the Wilsons, the Fields, guys who will probably be off the board by the time the Bears pick. But some of the late round guys, and I know one of them I'm going to mention was at the Senior Bowl. What are your thoughts on Kellen Mond and also Kyle Trask out of Florida?
Yeah, I think Trask was going to come, and then he hurt his ankle in the SEC championship game and then re-hurt it in their bowl game. So Kyle couldn't come down. But I think he and Kellen both go in the second. I think that Davis Mills from Stanford's probably in that group too. You know, Kyle Trask, extremely tough, extremely competitive, smart, plays from the pocket. The easy knock on Kyle is, you know, lack of mobility, but he's got such a nice feel back there that he does a nice job maneuvering around, and he's extremely accurate. You know, my first exposure to Kyle was at LSU in a night game 2 years ago against the national champs. And this was a guy that just kind of got thrust into the starting lineup that year and never started a game in high school, sat behind De'Ara King. So I think we're forgetting about that. That was a big talk about Kyle during the fall, was that he's a guy that never even started in high school. So, but the poise and the toughness and just the field presence he played with that night in Baton Rouge really stood out to me. So, you know, I think he's going to go somewhere around two. And Kellen Mond, in terms of physical tools, he's got it all. I mean, he's a long, kind of sleekly built guy. He ran 4.58, 4.59 at the pro day, which is rolling for a quarterback. I think he has the strongest arm in the draft. Just seeing all these guys throw live, he's got an absolute cannon for an arm. And, you know, can hurt you with his arms and his legs. And he reminds me of Cap coming out. He really reminds me of Colin Kaepernick. Both of them had their inconsistencies throughout college. Kellen got better this year, kind of tightened it up, eliminated some of the bad decisions, really cut down on the interceptions. And the 49ers did a great job pulling it all together with Cap. You know, they pulled that skill set and all those tools together. Cap was smart off the charts. He was like a 40 wonderlick. And I know Kellen's really smart as well. So I think his best football is still ahead of him. And I think where teams see Kellen is, if you take him in the second round or the third round, you've got a chance of hitting on a starter. You know, you're not just drafting a career backup. You're taking a guy that you really think has a chance to hit. So those two guys are really interesting. I think that Ian Book, like right there in Chicago's backyard at Notre Dame, is a guy that's a guy the league has a higher opinion of right now than the media. You do not see a lot about Ian Book out there on Twitter or anything else, but there's some strong feeling for Ian Book in the league. I don't think he gets out of the third round, guys. He's a really good athlete. He's won a ton of games. He can make plays when they break down, when things break down around him. So Ian Book would be another guy that I think I'd keep my eyes on if I was Bears fan.
Well, Jim, man, I got about 20 more questions for you, but we don't want to keep you too long, man. And we just want to say thank you. We really appreciate you having you on. Thanks for everything you're doing for the game of football down there that reached the Senior Bowl. And we just appreciate having you on, man.
No, I appreciate you guys having me on. If you would spread the word on our scout school, it's going to be June 13th and 14th here in Mobile. No, I'm sorry, June 15th and 16th here in Mobile. And just former teammates, anyone you know that's interested in this stuff and interested in getting back into the league in a different capacity, obviously, but start a new career path. Let those guys know it's going to be a great couple day program. We've got two former players coming in. Lenny McGill, longtime corner in the league. Lenny was on that scouting staff in Green Bay when I was up there. He's done an awesome job on the college side his whole career. So he's going to come talk about college. And then we've got Alex Smith, former Stanford tight end who works in the Bucks, on the pro side with the Bucks right now. He's going to go come and speak about pro personnel. And then we've got Larry Lee. Larry Lee was a VP with the Lions back when I was at school at Michigan in the 90s and the 2000s. And Larry played in the league for a long time as well. So he's going to come speak to more of the management side when you're on the front office. So some great programming we got. So if any of your former teammates, you can help us spread the word, we'd appreciate it. They can go to seniorbowl.com for more information.
Definitely, Jim. We'll definitely spread the word, man. And once again, I really appreciate you doing that for the former players. I mean, any services and opportunities that we have is a win for us. It's a win for those guys. So I commend you and thank you for that opportunity. And we'll definitely spread the word.
All right, fellas. Well, appreciate you having me on, and hopefully we can do it again sometime.
The best way to celebrate winning plays and touchdowns is with Tequila Embajador. That's my way of celebrating. If you want to make the right play call, go online, order your bottle of Tequila Embajador at www.embajadortequila.com/buy-online-html and enter the discount code NONAMEPOD and receive your 10% discount on each bottle purchase or 50% off with a purchase of 2 bottles. Tequila Embajador, where every sip is made to comfort the soul.
That's going to do it for our show today. Thank all of our listeners for tuning in to the No Name Podcast. We also want to thank our special guest that we had on today, Mr. Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Reese Senior Bowl, longtime NFL scout, a man who you also see on ESPN breaking down the draft all week. We want to thank him for his time. I'm Jason McKee. My co-host, as usual, Mr. Olin Kreutz. As always, we want to make sure to tell you guys, please share this podcast with your family, your friends, your neighbors, and anyone else you know that loves the game of football. And also, make sure you hit up and subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you choose. We're on Apple, we're on Spotify, we're on a lot of different things now, so make sure you tune in. Give us a rating if you like. Hopefully it's a 5-star rating. If not, give us a rating and tell us how we can improve the show. But thank you for your time, for listening in, and you've been listening to the No Name Podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll see you next time.